Returning to Philippians chapter 2 this morning as we continue our study through this book. We've entitled our message for this morning, Steadfast in Service. Steadfast in Service. We're coming to look today at the example of Timothy. This man by the name of Timothy that we read of here in Philippians chapter 2. He is, as we said earlier, another one of these role models that Paul presents for us as one who is Christ-like, one who is godly. And so there are many tremendous truths that we can learn even from these few verses about the life and the character of this man, Timothy. But let's, before we come to the Word of God this morning, seek God's face in a word of prayer, and let's seek His help as we come to prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the Word of God. We praise Thee, Lord, for the living oracles of truth. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You will be pleased now to write Thy Word upon our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come particularly to consider the life, the character of this young man, Timothy, we pray, Lord, that our hearts might be encouraged, we might be challenged, even as we consider what this man was. Father, we pray You'll come and open our hearts, we pray. Come and speak to all of our hearts, we ask of Thee. Come upon us, O God, we pray. So hear and answer prayer. Give us help to preach, give us help to hear. And may Thy name be glorified. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. The friendship and the companionship that Paul and Timothy had, I think, is probably one of the most striking associations that the apostle had. Now, while there is a very clear and considerable age gap between the two, Paul the older and Timothy the much younger, yet their friendship and their labor for Christ, for the cause of Christ, was unmistakable. They gelled together and they worked together so well. They had the highest regard for each other. They were brothers together in Christ. And they thought very highly of each other. Paul, in these verses that we will consider today, very clearly thought very highly of young Timothy. In fact, he calls him my dearly beloved son. And young Timothy had a great respect for his spiritual mentor, the Apostle Paul. Is it any wonder, therefore, that Paul would single out this young man, Timothy, as being a shining example and a role model to the church in Philippi, as he sought to show to them another example of Christ-likeness? Who better? Who better than the very unassuming, quiet, gentle, godly Timothy? Paul first met this man on his first missionary journey. From Acts chapter 16 in the verse 1, we find that Timothy was from Lystra. Paul visited Lystra, as we read in Acts chapter 14. And it is very probable, and he will agree, that it was during that visit to Lystra that Paul, coming in contact with Timothy, had the privilege and the joy of leading him to Christ. He refers to him as his son in the faith. But Timothy himself had a good grounding in the things of God. From his earliest days, he had known the Scriptures. Two women very, very important, very pivotal in his life. There was his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who taught him the things of God. What a privilege young Timothy had. And what a challenge for all parents to teach our children the things of God. What a tremendous pearl a godly mother and a godly grandmother is. Certainly it was the case for young Timothy. But young Timothy showed maturity beyond his age. And it is therefore hardly surprising that Paul would want to send him to Philippi. Now, while Paul, as we read in those verses in Philippians chapter 2, desired to go himself, yet he knew it may not happen for some time yet, if at all. But in typical Pauline fashion, Paul has an interest in the welfare and the spiritual well-being of the church in Philippi. And so he wants to send Timothy so that he can report back and let Paul know how things are in the church. And so, as he writes to the church at Philippi, from verse 19 down through to verse 23, we have set forth for us here some shining credentials of the life of Timothy. Paul here sets forth the reasons as to why he was going to send Timothy to help and to encourage the believers at Philippi. Doubtless he could have sent many. Doubtless there were others that Paul could have called upon to go and assist and help in the work at Philippi. But he singled out Timothy. And he did so for very particular reasons. And so really today we want to do a character study of the life of Timothy. Want to see something here about this young man that set him forth, that made him head and shoulders spiritually above all his contemporaries. And I want us to remember, if you can think back to a few weeks back when we were looking at Paul himself as being a role model, got to remember now we're not talking about the Apostle Paul. We're not talking about the great missionary. We're not talking about the great preacher. We're talking about a more quiet, shy, reserved man, mild-mannered man by the name of Timothy. And yet his testimony shines out in these verses. He was steadfast in service. I want you to see, first of all, about Timothy, first of all, his tenderness. His tenderness. In verse 20, we read, I have no man like-minded. Or if you have a margin, you'll see it could read, so dear unto me, who will naturally care for your state. Paul, speaking of Timothy, says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy was just like Paul. He had a mind like Paul, but more importantly, for the purposes of this particular part of our study, he had a heart like Paul. Now, what Paul said of Timothy there in verse 20 was not to belittle or to undermine any of the other workers who labored with Paul. But for Paul, there was no one like Timothy as far as his tenderness and his kindness was concerned. Timothy was a pastor. He had a tremendous mentor in the Apostle Paul in regards to his teaching and to his training. But you see, Timothy had something that no mentor, no training, no Bible college can ever give to a pastor or to any Christian for that matter, and that is a heart for the people of God. He's naturally caring. He's naturally compassionate and tender. The word naturally there is very important. This wasn't put on. This just wasn't Paul putting on a front or Timothy putting on a front or a show. This was real, true, genuine compassion and care. We see the intensity of this tenderness in the word care itself there in verse 20. It's a very strong word. It expresses a strong feeling towards someone. In fact, so much so that the person who has the care is burdened with that care of others. It indicates someone who has entered into and sought to share in the burdens, in the cares of others. You see, Timothy didn't have to be told to be careful and to be tender. Timothy didn't have to be told to look after the people of God. It came naturally to him. The work of God was constantly on his mind. The people of God were constantly before him. He had an interest in their welfare. He cared for them. even more than he cared for himself. Paul talks about the care of the churches. And it's the same word that's used here in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 20. A strong feeling towards them. A compassion for them. They were on his mind, they were on his heart all the time. Paul was a true shepherd of the flock, but so too was Timothy. Two different characters, but they showed tremendous compassion for the work of God and the people of God. You see, Timothy, just like Paul, wasn't in it for himself. Timothy had the mind of a servant. You think back to those opening verses of Philippians chapter 2. And how that we talked about the servant's mind, the mind of Christ. One of the aspects we thought of was to have the mind of Christ is to have a servant's mind. Timothy had the mind of Christ because he had a servant's mind and heart. He didn't see it as a chore to serve in the work of God. He didn't see it as a burden to serve in the work of God. He had a genuine concern and interest, not only in their spiritual welfare, but also in their physical well-being. How does he do this? How does this come about? Well, the answer, I believe, is given in verse 21. As you read verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. As I read verse 21, I read of a heart that is heavy. Here Paul says, just having spoken about Timothy, who naturally cares for their state, then he goes on and says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. There's a contrast there between those two verses. Paul speaks with a heaviness, with a sorrow, because he's saying there's too many in the church and all they're concerned about are themselves. They live for self. They seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. And the very clear inference in that statement is that Timothy does not seek his own. He seeks the things which are Christ's. He puts others before himself. He puts the cause of Christ before his own interests. Oh, sadly, there are those who do not seek first the kingdom of God. Their carnal, their selfish attitude, and all they're concerned about are the trivial things of life. And as Paul writes there in verse 21, it's very clear he writes with a broken heart. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Christians not interested in the things of Christ or not caring for the things of Christ. Those who profess the name of Christ and yet their interests are only their own interests rather than spiritual interest in the things of God. It grieved Paul to see this. The work of Christ was being left. Because only a faithful few were interested in the things of Christ. Verse 21, there were those who served all right, but they served themselves. They were not, as young Timothy was, caring for others. There's an interesting contrast, and often the scriptures will bring a contrast and comparison between different parts of Scripture. It's one of the laws of biblical interpretation, and it's been applied here in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 21, because you compare Philippians chapter 2, verse 21 with Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Then compare that with Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, not by accident, are the verses there in that order. "For all seek their own, not the things of Christ." You see the contrast there. Philippians 1:21, those who live for Christ. Philippians 2:21, those who live for themselves. You see, all of God's people fit into either Philippians 1:21, living for Christ, all out for Christ, or Philippians 2:21, living for themselves, living for their own interests, channeling all their energies into their own interests, their own pursuits, their own hobbies, and the things of God are sidelined. Timothy naturally cared for the work of God and the people of God because Timothy had the interests of God's work at heart, not his own interests. Timothy died to self and lived to Christ. He served the work of God wholeheartedly and fully. He was tender towards the people of God. Why? Why? This is something I've spoken on in the past. He saw the people of God as God saw them. We're all different. We've all got our own different personalities and our own different characteristics. But listen, child of God, no matter how different they may be from us, if they're saved by the grace of God, we've got to love them as God loved them. Because God loved them so much that he gave his son to die for them on the cross. Why, therefore, should we hate the child of God whom God loves? Timothy was a living example of Philippians 2 verse 4. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others." Nothing else mattered to Timothy but the work of God. Nothing else was more important to Timothy but the cause of Christ. And as such, he served the Lord and the people with tenderness and a compassion. Because listen, before he loved the people, he loved the Lord. His love, his care, his compassion for the people of God and for the work of God, what was it? It was a reflection of his love for Christ. We will never love the work of God or love the people of God if, first of all, we don't love the God of the work. What is the first great commandment with promise? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In other words, with all that we are to love the Lord. That's what Timothy did, and that love for God is then reflected in his love for the work of God and in the people of God. Our love for God will be seen. It will be reflected. It will be reflected in our love for God's work and God's people. That's the public demonstration of our love for God. Timothy loved his master. And he was tender and caring towards the people of God that God loved. Was seen in his care for the work and the cause of Jesus Christ. He had a heart for the work because first of all, he had a heart for the Lord. And I say again, our love for God will be reflected and will be seen in our love and service for the work of God. We see his tenderness. A man who naturally cared for the state of the work of God, Church of Jesus Christ, the cause and the things of God. Why? Because he loved the Lord with all his heart. There's his tenderness. A shining example of care and compassion and interest in the work of God. But I want you to see not only his tenderness, but I want you also to see his trustworthiness. When Timothy was converted to Christ, as we said, most likely at the time recorded for us when Paul went to Lystra in Acts chapter 14. But when he was converted to Christ, Timothy did something very important, very fundamental, very basic. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 16 with me, please. Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's coming back to Derbe and Lystra. He's returned back to this area that he had been in some years previous. And look what we read in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 16. Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. When Paul came back to Lystra, he found a certain disciple there named Timotheus, who was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra. What was Timothy doing in that intervening period from his conversion to now? He was getting involved in the work of God in Lystra. From that time that he was converted to that time now that Paul comes back to Lystra, here in Acts chapter 16, what is Timothy doing? He is getting involved in the local work in Lystra. He finds Timothy laboring for the Lord. So much so that he's well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra. He had a good report and a good rapport amongst the believers there. Here's a young man who channeled his energies into the work of God in Lystra. Here's a young man who realized that he was saved, but he was saved to serve. And where did he start serving? In his local church, his local area. He got his roots deep down into the work there in the local church. He got involved in the things of the local church there in Lystra and Iconium. That's where he proved himself. That's where he got a grounding in the things of God. Yes, he had a tremendous upbringing with his mother and his grandmother. But he put that all to practical use by getting into the work of God in his local area. That's where he labored. He got his roots deep down into the local church. One Bible commentator said that some Christians are like trees, lots of branches. But it's said that their branches reach further than their roots go deep. In other words, all show, but no depth. Timothy labored for Christ in his local church, in his local fellowship, and it was there that he proved himself to be trustworthy and dependable. The Lord will never call, and we know how then that the Lord called Timothy to go with Paul, but the Lord will never call somebody to greater service in the master's business if, first of all, they have not proved themselves at home. Running around every other church and neglecting the home church. No, Timothy proved himself in the home church. He gave himself to the local church. How can someone serve the Lord further afield if they don't serve the Lord at home? How can that person be trusted on a mission field if they have never been proved on their own service at home? As a mission board, we would be most unwise to accept anybody who just came willy-nilly before us and said, well, I feel the Lord's calling me to such and such a place. And then we ask the question that's always asked, and where and how do you serve the Lord in your local church? Well, I don't really. Timothy proved himself locally before he went on further afield to serve the Lord. Oh, too many today want the glamour and the spotlight of service abroad, but don't want the nitty-gritty to serve the Lord at home. The Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. And he says, I'll make thee ruler over all things. Faithful in a few things. Young person, older person, never neglect your service, your dedication, your faithfulness here in this local church. I make no apology for saying that. And I don't just say that as your minister, your pastor. I say that today with a heart for you. Get involved in the work of God at home. Prove to the Lord and to the people your faithfulness before the Lord would use you in another place. Timothy was trustworthy. Timothy was dependable. Then Paul called Timothy to go with him and serve the Lord further afield. He was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. You know, as I prepared for this message, for Timothy's. Young man was there, faithful, dependable. We see his trustworthiness. We go back to Philippians chapter 2. And the verse 22 as well, not only was he proved in his local church, but then he was obviously, the use of his service was proved in verse 22 in the work in Philippi. Philippians 2 verse 22, but ye know the proof of him. It means he had been proved by being tested. Timothy had been tested in the service of the Lord. Now, we don't have time today to go through the times when Timothy was tested on his service for the Master. But there was a time when Timothy and Silas were called to stay behind in Berea, and Paul had come from Berea from Thessalonica. And the Thessalonians then came after Paul to Berea to hound him. They hated the message he was preaching. Paul had to leave Berea because of the hatred and the hostility that he had found from the Thessalonians. But who did the church tell and command to wait behind in Berea? Paul had to move on. Paul had to leave. But who was told to stay? It was Timothy. Timothy. You read about it there in Acts 17. Timothy, you stay there. You stay with the work of God and the people of God in Berea. And he stayed. He stayed. He didn't say, well, listen, actually, man, if Paul's going, I'm going too. There was a test. And he proved himself. God gives us chances of proving us by testing us. Timothy was tested. In Acts chapter 19, we read how that Timothy and Erastus was called to go to Macedonia. It was another test. Was he going to be willing to go? He was. Timothy stayed the course. Timothy wasn't up and down, down and up and in and out. He faithfully, consistently served the Lord. He proved himself. He excelled himself. He was submissive. He was willing to learn from Paul. He took advice from Paul. And I do want you to read Acts chapter 17 and that account of Timothy staying in Berea, because he took advice from the church. Because the church told him, to Timothy, you stay in Berea. Timothy wasn't a young man who thought he knew it all. Timothy realized he had much to learn. And he learned from older, more experienced men in the faith. He wasn't a young man who thought, I'll do my own thing, go wherever. One of these Scarlet Pimpernel missionaries, they seek him there, they seek him everywhere, and they're nowhere. And the Lord calls them there, and the Lord calls them here, and the Lord calls them there. We don't know where they are. Timothy stayed the course. He was committed. Oh, for such commitment in the work of God. One of the blights today in the Church of Jesus Christ are spiritual nomads, going here, there, and everywhere. It's not the most politically correct term, but I'll use it anyway, spiritual gypsies. They don't want to get too associated to the work of God. And they'll just have a loose connection with just about every church. Well, that's not scriptural either. It's not how we do things. We need to be committed and faithful and dedicated to the local work of God. There needs to be this commitment, such as we see in the life of Timothy. He was dependable. He was trustworthy in God's work. We see his tenderness. We see his trustworthiness, but I want you to see as well his truthfulness, his truthfulness. Now, it's very clear that Timothy, as a young servant of God, was a man whose life was governed by truth. What I mean by that is that he didn't live his life as a sham or a show. He didn't care for others just for that little time and then change. It wasn't a pretense. It wasn't a put on. Because, as we said, first and foremost, he had a love for Christ. But notice what governed him. What regulated him. This is a matter we dealt with some weeks back. What was the truth that governed Paul or Timothy? The end of verse 22. The gospel. The gospel. Timothy served with Paul in the gospel. The gospel, the cause of Christ, governed his life. That was the standard by which he lived his life. He didn't seek his own agenda. He didn't promote himself. He served, he labored with Paul. Notice those words in verse 22, very important. He hath served with me in the gospel. There's no friction here, no competition here. They were co-workers together. His life was a life of truthfulness governed by the truth of the gospel. It was the gospel of Christ that marked out the life of Timothy. You see, he didn't just simply pay lip service to Christ. He didn't say one thing with his mouth and then do something totally different with his life. His life was not a contradiction, but the action of his life complemented the words of his lips. This is a theme that has been recurring throughout these studies. He naturally cared for the state of the people. It was seen, it was evidenced, because he had a concern and an interest in the gospel of Christ. Paul or Timothy didn't say one thing and do another. Timothy didn't say, "I'm for Christ," and then lived as if Christ didn't matter. Christ and the gospel governed his life. It was the standard by which he lived his life. We have no other standard but the standard of Christ today. And if we profess the name of Christ, then that's the standard by which we must live our lives. And we see in verse 23, Timothy was willing to go anywhere. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. You see, Paul, without any hesitation, knew that Timothy was willing to go anywhere for the cause of Christ. He was available. He was ready to do anything that was asked of him. And there was nothing that was below him. He got his grounding in the local church, as we saw earlier. And that grounding put him in good stead for the cause of Christ that he was then called to do and to labor in. He was willing to serve the Lord anywhere. He was willing to go to Philippi. Paul knew that. Paul wouldn't have written there in verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently," if Paul had any doubt that Timothy wouldn't go. But he knew Timothy. He knew the type of Timothy. He knew the character of Timothy. And he was ready, willing to go and serve the Lord, wherever that may be. Lord, here am I. Send my brother, send my sister, but don't send me. Is that sometimes how we live for God? The Lord, here am I. And then somebody asks you to do something. Oh, well, maybe not. Lord, here am I, send me. That was the motto of Timothy. He was willing. He was dedicated. He was committed. There is nothing that Timothy wouldn't do for the cause of Christ. Maybe there's someone here today, and you have left off in your service for the Lord. Well, once you were bright, once you would have done anything, but now you're only paying lip service. You're not serving the Lord. You're not faithful the way you were. You're not dedicated, committed to the work of God the way you were. Is it not time you put things right in your life? Is it not time you came back to the Lord and served Him, loved Him with all your heart and life? Timothy was a willing, joyful, dependable servant of Christ, ready to serve, ready to do whatever needed to be done for Christ. He, like Paul, was ready to spend and be spent for the Master. May the Lord make us Timothys today. And may the Lord give us Timothys today. What a shining example of what a Christian is. And we've only glanced, the ages looked around a few matters in the life of Timothy. Paul was very bold. Paul was very confident. But I think as you read Paul's letter to Timothy and the pastoral epistles there, you'll see that Timothy is somewhat different. Doubting himself. He wasn't as bold as Paul was. Maybe he just didn't have the same self-confidence that Paul had. But there was one shining example that Paul saw in this man's life, and that was dependability in the cause of Christ. Faithfulness. Committed. Oh, he may not have just have been the same character as Paul, but he was a young man committed to the work of God, dedicated to the work of God. There's nothing that thrills the heart of a pastor more than seeing God's people dedicated, committed to God's work locally. Being found faithful. Yeah, Timothy probably was a young man that shunned the limelight. But he constantly worked tirelessly, quietly, proving himself first locally and then God giving him a greater service nationally. The name of Timothy is held in high regard and high esteem by many Bible commentators. You'll find very few speaking out against Timothy because he was such an example of steadfastness, faithfulness, in the service of Jesus Christ. Trustworthy, dependable, busy, active, who had no interests but the interests of Christ. A modest man, meek, humble, faithful, gentle, genuine. Oh, we could go on and on with all the different words that we describe Timothy, and they all would be suitable. Is that the type of Christian we are? Faithful, dependable, genuine, compassionate. Oh God, make us such a child of God as Timothy was. No man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, his tenderness, his trustworthiness, his truthfulness. He lived his life according to the truth of the gospel. Is it any wonder then that Paul sets him forth as this role model and this example to the church in Philippi? May God make us like Timothy today, not seeking our own interests, but seeking the interests of Christ. May God make us faithful and dependable and committed, as Timothy was in the cause and in the work of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the example of the life of this man Timothy. Lord, we thank thee for his faithfulness. Oh God, we pray you'll make us faithful. We thank the Lord for his dependability and how that he served the cause of Christ. Oh God, make us such servants. Lord, help us not to seek the things that are our own, but to seek the things which are Christ's. Help us, Lord, to be those whose lives are sold out for Christ. Oh God, we pray that today you'll help us to lay our lives afresh on the altar. Lord, for any today who have wandered, gone away from God, in their service, their brightness for the Master has grown dim. God, we pray that today you'll bring them back and that they might rededicate their lives afresh to the Lord. We pray, Lord, that even in our own homes and in our communities, in our places of employment, in our business, wherever, God, we pray that we might be shining examples of what a Christian should be in this world. Father, we pray you'll bless thy word. May thy word live on, speak on in all of our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.